got a supported message from an NHL captain congratulating me and just saying job well done. So that's the kind of attention we're talking about.
Right. A lot of positivity out there. I'm having people send me notes on many different levels saying that they thought that that was peak performance from yourself, Al's brother. I think you caught a lot of people off guard. You guys came out of the chute quick. You were consistent. You won the race, though. But if you're just tuning in, O-Dog and Al's brother ran their 200-yard dash or meter dash earlier today, and it was very successful. The O-Dog came in at around 42 seconds. Al's brother at 47 seconds, crushing the line. It wasn't even close.
No.
Vegas was
way off. You guys
were
a little bit out of hand. I know you were doing your research, and I think the 40-yard dash was a little bit – it was off. It was too long.
Right. Well, that's why. Something was wrong.
Yeah.
Something.
So that's why people were making fun. That's the real us, what you saw today.
I like it.
Well,
I love
impressive.
It.
Impressive. Impressive. Like you completely fooled us. But my point being is that I think that wasn't a 40-yard dash in the TSN parking lot. Like it might have been longer. It might have been something with might have been uphill. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't go so well. I was trying to do the math to figure it out. You crushed the line. You guys look great. The filming was good. The drone, whoever the hell was flying that.
Outstanding job.
That was
the grappler,
cool.
Mullen.
Very cool.
Very
yeah.
cool. So we're going to get Al's brother back in studio later this hour. We'll bring Mullen into the fold, the grappler. We'll get a whole behind the scenes, right, because we want to know more about this. And Ray will join us here in a moment. You know Ray saw it. Ray will have a comment on it. That's just a matter of time. He'll have the call tonight, too, on TSN4. And TSN Radio, where the Leafs are wrapping up their regular season in Winnipeg. The Jets are wrapping up their regular season. Paul Maurice with an interesting comment earlier today. I think a very candid one, and one that only a veteran coach could probably get away with saying. We'll play it. We'll get to it in just a moment. But Chris Letang, I saw him talking about kind of desperation in Pittsburgh, like an acceptance that Sid and Gino, they're not young anymore, which – you know, their careers have flown, man. They've been in the league for 15 years.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, nicknamed Sid the Kid, and you've been in the league 15 years.
Right. Sid the Kid and your teammates are like, we got to get one more for him. Like, we got to take advantage because they understand. It's not like they're 40 years old or whatever, but they're into their mid-30s now. And with every passing year, you know, your chances of grabbing one more slip away a little bit. And Pittsburgh had a really good season. They're atop their division. They're going to play the Islanders in the first round, a team that swept them a couple of years ago. So I figured maybe we'd go around the table, and I'm going to go first here, which never happens, and then we'll go around the table in terms of desperation, like teams throughout the league that should have a sense of desperation as they go into the Stanley Cup playoffs, because the Cup playoffs start tomorrow night with Boston taking on Washington, a full slate of games on Sunday. It's going to be awesome. I guess I'll begin with the 3 seed here. I think this is okay. And I got to be honest, I cheaped out here. I didn't pick one over the other. I went Pittsburgh and Washington in the 3 spot because I think there's similarities on both sides. I think both have won their cups. You know, Washington won, Pittsburgh multiple. But Sid, Gino, Chara, Ovi, it's the same story on both sides.
Yeah.
Right? They're really good teams. They've been consistently good for a long time. And you got a situation here where both guys, you know, both teams are well aware of the legends that reside on the team, you know, and they've all won their cups. Charles won one, Ovi's won one, Sid, Gino. So there's desperation based on age. I think based on how good they are, cap ramifications, but I couldn't separate the two. I couldn't separate the two. So I went Pittsburgh and Washington at 3. This one I had a difficult time with because I don't want to believe it. I don't want to express it, but I have to. I went with Vegas at 2. This is a team that played 15 skaters a couple of nights ago. Then we had Peter DeBoer on the next day, and he goes, everyone understands we had to sacrifice to sign 2 good goalies, to bring in Pietrangelo, to sign Stone, to keep Pacioretty. Remember, everyone was last year was saying Pacioretty's got to go. Cap casualty, got to go. They've barely been in the league, but cap hell is already here, and it's only going to get worse in the future. They're an older team. They sold their soul to go for it. You know, they traded all their kids, all the prospects
expansion
for the most part.
Team is an older team, and they've sold their soul for
they
winning.
Have, though. He's bang on. Obviously, they're on my list, too, but, like, you're bang on with it. Is there's going to be a time where, and we've talked about this, too, even after DeBoer was on, like, Vegas is still going to be have the allure, because if you're an Oilers fan or a Leaf fan or whatever, you're going to go and fly, and watch them play the Oilers or the Leafs or the Canadians or whatever, play Vegas. But there will be a time where Vegas has to retool because they've got big contracts.
Absolutely.
And they've sold off. Like, keep in mind, like, Nick Suzuki was a Vegas draft pick. Like,
Suzuki,
you know,
Brännström, they've,
right,
they've
like
made a bunch
players
of deals.
But ultimately, they went for it, to your point.
And they're you know, they missed out on the President's Trophy, barely, but they're a really good team, and they're going to be in the hunt.
Right.
And number one, I have Toronto. I have Toronto at number one for a couple of different reasons. They're avoiding Tampa and Boston, which didn't happen in the past, will not happen again as of next year. They've got their older legends who don't have a cup. Like, Jumbo doesn't have his cup. Chara's got his. Ovi's got his. Sid,
right.
Gino. Joe Thornton is 41 years old. He's a walking, talking legend. First ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer. The biggest beauty in the league. Everyone loves him. And he's going through quarantine and living in a condo in Toronto where he can't see anybody, specifically to try to win a cup here. I think that pressure is there. And they're up against the cap as well. Like, they put in, right, Adam Brooks tonight. Marner's coming out. That's the only move they can make. It's not like the Leafs are, you know, Mr. Flexibility here. And they got the history behind them. I think they're clearly the best team in their division. So I had the Leafs at number one. So Pens, Caps 3, Vegas 2, Leafs 1. Do you want to,
sure,
quickly go about it? We'll get to Ray. Oh, knock yours out. Noodles, knock yours out. Then we'll bring in,
yeah,
Ray.
I got,
okay,
Wash, Florida, Toronto. Wash just because of Ovi's getting up there. Chara's no kid anymore. Might be their last kind of run too, Hazy and Noodles. And I've got Toronto and Florida just because of the lack of anything. Think of the lack of playoff success, either of this team.
Right.
Toronto, obviously, 1967 comes into mind. And forget about the scar tissue and trying to go a couple rounds and then learning a lesson down the road. Just try to win it. Same goes for the Florida Panthers. They haven't won squat.
They're playing Tampa in the first round, too. That's a good point,
right,
because that's their rivalry. That's their go-to, and they get them in the first round. Noodles, who do you have?
Well, I went with Vegas for basically everything you said. Like, I think they're going to be in Cap Hill eventually, and they've kind of gone all in. So, you know, it's a business situation where it's like, hey, we got to win. We're in win now mode. Boston was my number two because same type of thing. That, you know, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand is not a young guy. Rask is going to be unrestricted. Like, that core, this is kind of their last kick at it. And then I went Pittsburgh, same scenario. Pittsburgh because of Sid and Gino and, you know, Letang, that core. I could easily see the Leafs. The only thing I would argue why I didn't put Toronto in there is because technically outside of John Tavares, their core is still intact. Like, they're under contract. So if they fail this year, it's not like, hey, we got to break it all down. They just have to retool around it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
no,
why,
for
the
sure.
only reason why I kept Toronto out of that conversation.
Yeah, I can reason with that. Obviously, yeah. Matthews, Marner, Nylander,
they're not going anywhere.
Tavares,
right.
They're coming back next year. Riley,
right.
You know, but because you're in the cap situation, you are guys
gotta
around the
now,
perimeter.
Man.
Guys
yeah.
around the perimeter are gonna go right.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chance, you know, Thornton will be gone and Spezza and Simmons and
yeah.
you know, but even their top four defense will return next year. We would think, unless they make a trade. So
right.
I can reason with that. I guess it was more history. It was more the path that they're going to have, which I think sets up very good
yeah,
for them.
That was a great point.
So we'll see. Well, we're going to ask Ray here the same question, but I have a feeling I know where he's going to want to start because I'm sure he's seen the video. He's been hyped up all day about the 200-meter. And joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. I'm assuming you saw it. I hope you saw the video.
Yes.
There was shock. There's shock around the world. 20 minutes ago, the world stopped. They could not believe what they saw. Your reaction?
I owe Big Al's brother and Big O an apology.
Yes, wow. You do.
I tweeted out they're going to have to time that with a calendar. And I think, you would have gone faster if you didn't take the first five strides in the same place.
Right.
I didn't have a great start. I'll admit that.
Oh, but the consistency, man, that was solid. I thought Al's brother was in trouble when that guy walking on the outside was on the same pace. I'm like,
yeah, that was concerning.
He's going to come to a standstill here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There were a couple of trap doors there for Al's brother, and I was getting nervous. But
yeah.
I thought 60 seconds. That's what I had. I'm like, they got to be able to do it in under a minute.
Like
you can walk a lap in 2 minutes, so I'm like, you got to be. I think they can't. And then But the times, I didn't see it, man. I didn't see it. Spectacular.
Yep.
Is it weird that Al's brother is trending in Canada right now? People are going to press on this.
What's the aftermath? Like, anybody pull a hamstring, you know, rip up a calf, something like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Like, what my understanding is, and I'm in my house, so I wish I could have seen it in person, that it was quickly kind of got your stuff back together, you got back on the right breathing pattern, and then you started talking about ordering food into the studio. Is that basically the way things played out?
I had a break because what I had to do was I had to finish my race. Al's brother had to time me with his phone to get the number. So when I was done, I had a small amount of time to walk across the field and get ready to time Al's brother. So in professional athlete fashion, I got over there, got my breathing down to a normal rate, and I timed Al's brother.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's it. Athleticism.
I think, you know what, we're always looking for, like, what could the edge be for a team going into the playoffs? You want to show, if the Leafs need inspiration, they got to show this in the locker room right before. This is an alumni of the Leafs.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And his former coach is on the Winnipeg side of things. So I think this could be a double shot. You could have a Carolina Hurricanes-type scenario in Winnipeg's room and a Leaf alumni in the Maple Leaf room. And although that would mean that Paul Maurice has to kind of walk back his this will be a charity event-type game tonight comment from earlier today. I don't know if you saw it, right? We haven't played it yet. Why don't we play it? Because I do think you have to coach in the league for a long time to be able to say what Paul Maurice said earlier today. It's the elephant in the room. Both teams know who they're playing next, where they're going. This is a formality in many ways.
I've never heard it, though, Hazy.
I've never heard a guy say this publicly, a head coach, you know, an employee of the National Hockey League. This is what Maurice had to say about the game earlier today.
There's almost a – this is going to sound terrible for hockey, but a gentleman's agreement, right? I don't think you're going to see any late hits, right? Both teams are getting ready to go on. There'll be a certain amount of respect on the ice.
What do you make of that, Ray?
He's right. There will be, but I've not heard it like that before. You know, we played an exhibition game in Boise, Idaho, and they had just played the ice, and we were playing San Jose. I was with LA, and so before the game, Rob Blake was our captain, and Blakey went over and talked to Tony Granato, who was with the Kings, but was now with San Jose and was one of their captains, and like, hey, look, the ice is terrible out there. They just put it in. Let's just get through the game. And so there was like this agreement, right? Blakey came back and told us, first shift, some knucklehead ran over somebody on the other team.
That's right.
It was a train wreck.
Yeah.
We're like, what the hell are we doing here? We just want to get to tomorrow. And so it doesn't take much for it to turn something different than what you intend. But I'm thinking, I got to do the game, and it means nothing. And so I'm sitting here doing my prep, and I'm like, the hell are you? You know, like, there's nothing to really dig into in the game, which is just to talk about the Leafs series and the Jets series, which, of course, isn't against each other. And these guys, they're less involved than I am.
They just
want to get to tomorrow. I mean, Sheldon Keefe said it. Paul Maurice is talking about it. They just want to get there, be healthy, put this thing in the rearview mirror, and then focus in on Wednesday and Thursday.
You're bang on, Ray, but something that you said triggered something for me. You said, like, everyone's on the same page, and then some knucklehead, and you know there's always one dope in the group on either team. Yep. That is going to play his hardest and do what he can, and that, and believe me, you know, that's just the competitive nature. And if there's a bad hit or something stupid, that's where it goes sideways, because you're like, hold on a second here. We're both just trying to get to the end. Both teams are. But that's, we've seen it a million times where we're all predicting it. We're all saying, nah, this is going to be a nice gentleman's, you know, no hitter and
one thing.
And nothing to see here. And then it's going to be one stupid, like, accidental on purpose, bump the goalie, bump this, you know, a late push or something. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
A couple nights ago, it kind of Foligno and Tkachuk were kind of going at it. And I'm like, here we go. Like
Brady Tkachuk is. Myself, what is Nick doing?
What's he doing? What's he doing? He couldn't, because I didn't think Tkachuk really did anything. I guess he was kind of close to Anderson, and Foligno comes in and pops him. And
it might have been a little bit of pushback because Brady had a little bit of an interaction with Marner by the bench. So I wonder if Nick was trying to, you know, push back there. But I kept thinking to myself, Brady's a large man, and Nick's a tough guy too. But you're a week away from the playoffs. What if Brady and him drop the gloves and Brady pops him on the nose or on the chin or something?
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can guarantee somewhere, if we had the game totally mic'd tonight, somewhere along the line, more than once, somebody will say to another guy on the other team, what the F are you doing?
Right.
Or what are you thinking? Like, somebody will do something that'll rub you the wrong way. Because, like, I just know if I were playing tonight, if I don't run into anybody and nobody runs into me, that's about a perfect night. There's no bonuses to be had. There's no playoff positioning to be had. Nothing. I just want to get, honestly, to 10:30 at night and go, yep, I feel great, and I can't wait to start the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't want to come out of this with anything.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yeah. And then once you turn the page, then you can officially embrace the playoffs, because that's another thing that Maurice basically did, which is almost breaking the code in a way. Like, one game at a time, and we're not thinking about the Habs, we're not thinking about the Oilers. Of course you are. You're already pre-scouting for those teams. You don't care about the game tonight, for the most part, in terms of the actual result. But it leads us back into what we were talking about earlier, Ray, prior to having you on. Chris Letang was addressing the media today and accepted that, you know, you got to try to get one more for Sid and Gino, which makes me feel old. And you realize time flies when it's like, hey, you got to get one for the old guys, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. But he was essentially saying, like, we're desperate in here. There's some desperation, and we acknowledge that these guys are getting older, and with every passing year, it becomes that much more difficult to get them back into the winner's circle. And we ran around the table in terms of ranking, you know, which teams should be the most desperate. And teams like the Leafs, teams like Vegas because of their cap situation, Pittsburgh, Washington because of the vets on their team.
Boston
came up. Yeah, Florida, all reference because they have no history of success, like nothing. Where do you stand on there? Is there a team in particular that you would point to first and foremost where you would think they would understand there's got to be some desperation here, we got to try to win this cup?
I kind of feel like Boston is thinking that way. You know, they've turned over their defense quite a bit, but you know, their best guys, like their top two centers, are not getting any younger in Bergeron and Krejci. I mean, they're terrific players still, but they're not getting any younger. When the center ice position flips over, a team flips over. Like that doesn't, you know, I mean, you don't just replace those guys. Washington, eventually that Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Ovechkin group is going to be old. Everybody. I mean, Ovi plays these like in, you know, Russian machine, but like the other guys are going to slow down, and it's going to happen fast. I look at the older guys, like the Leafs, the older guys with the Leafs. I think those guys will get cycled through. Like, that's the value of these 1 year contracts, is they got all their money tied up in their big boys. Those are the guys that are going to have to make the difference. And if they decide to move on from a couple of their veterans at the end of the year, then they'll sign a couple other veterans, and they'll be on 1 year deals. So I think that part's just, that's going to be the transient way of building your team now.
Yeah, that kind of turnover along the edges, and it's just a matter of who they are. And the reason why, you know, Toronto, there's a number of different ways to express it. I did earlier this hour. I think their path, like Boston and Tampa, have been the boogeymen, you know, so to speak, and they're not in front of you here for the first two rounds. So that should make you feel, okay, I got a chance here to do something. And I think they've established themselves as clearly the best team of the four. And then on top of it, you look at the guys on the edges, specifically Thornton, and I guess you'd add Spezza to that. But Jumbo's a bigger-than-life, first-ballot Hall of Famer, and he doesn't have it. You know, Chara's got his ring. Ovi's got it now. Sid's got one. Gino's got one. Joe Thornton doesn't. Like, he doesn't have one. So I would think that that's probably kind of making the rounds, you know, and probably worth a little bit more in terms of the push and understanding what's at stake here.
If I would think so. I can't imagine guys don't understand how hard it is to win. But when you're younger, you always think there's more years. And when you get Joe Thornton's age, or 5 years ago, you know that there's not that many years left. You don't get year after year after year. I wish there were times that, you know, when I was younger, I could have understood that. Not that I would have tried harder, but it just felt different as you got older. I don't know if you guys agree, but like you realize, like, man, this. I think I would have enjoyed it more. I think I would have taken in more instead of just, yeah, this is what I do. And, yeah, we're in the playoffs, and, like, we should be there. Then after a while, you realize how hard it is to get there and to do something. Younger guys don't generally have that until they get kicked in the ass a few times. And maybe that's one of the benefits that the Leafs have now, is they've been booted like that a couple of times.
Ray, we were talking all season, or the second half of the season, about this power play. And I think it's officially time where, I mean, not panic time, but what the hell do you do with that? Is it time to start hurting somebody's feelings, or just kind of being honest with someone you're not going out there? Or because it's tough.
I think this balanced power play stuff and all that stuff, forget it. Like, you just got to get your five best guys out there, the guys you think can work best together. Oh, look at how they scored last game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just a, like, boring, old-fashioned, somebody standing in front of the goalie, you win a puck battle, it's one pass, it's a shot. Like, I think they get into the movement thing and they're looking, you know, everybody knows the pass that they want. So maybe there's another way to get the shot you want where the puck gets delivered to Matthews a different way. Like, maybe it doesn't have to come through Marner all the time. Because it's 9 for whatever. It's like nothing for, you know, forever when they score.
Right.
So I'm with you. It's changing personnel or adjusting personnel. It's adjusting a thought. You're not going to get many power plays. Maybe two power plays is going to be all you get. You got to get the puck to the net. They've lost that. They've lost that aggressive mentality to it. It's gone for them. I don't know. Can they get it back? Or do they just, I think it's probably pretty interesting that their special teams, both power play and penalty kill, are not very good, really, statistically. Yet five-on-five play, they are way better. And more of the playoffs are played at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So maybe this team is better set up for playoff hockey than we might think.
You know what it's like, Ray. 5-on-5, the opportunities absolutely disappear 5-on-5 in the playoffs. And if you do have that one or two chance power play, you got to make hay on it. And if it's not doing it, it's tough.
Well, I mean, they can't reinvent the personnel. This is who they got. They don't have that big bomber from the point. I think look at Winnipeg's power play. They're two, since the beginning of April, I think I wrote down, they're 2 for 29. Right? They've got some good people on the power play. What they don't have is they don't have a big shot from the point. And so people start squeezing off tighter to Scheifele, and they look for that pass from, over to Connor, and they take away the best option. But you don't have that simple straight-ahead shot, and that's what made Muzzin's shot noteworthy to me the other day. Not that Muzzin should be out with the first group, but the puck went back. He didn't even think of anything else. It was coming to him, and he was shooting it. And maybe that's all they're going to get in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, and special teams obviously are going to play such a massive role. I think a big part of it, too, is they've got to stop giving up goals when they're on the power play. Like, it's actually ridiculous.
Great point by you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. That seems like a pretty obvious comment, but I'll take it. Here's the thing.
If your power play stinks and you kill penalties at a good rate, as long as you're not getting outscored, like, so if you're 1 for 10 in a playoff series and you kill 9 of 10 the other way, then it doesn't matter. You know, you've washed out the special teams. Maybe given the way things are, that's the best way to look at it. I think right now the Leafs have scored and given up the same number of power play goals.
And, how crazy
and, you know,
is
and maybe,
that?
Maybe that's the way they have to look at it.
Yeah, almost exactly. If you can balance out the special teams, they'd feel
right.
good about themselves at 5-on-5. You know, but that's
I mean, that's
the scary
what the Kings
thing.
Did. The Kings didn't have a power play to speak about, but when they won the Cup, but they killed penalties like a fiend. Mm-hmm. Nobody scored power play goals against them, and so it just became a wash. And then they were the best team 5-on-5.
Yep, and that you're still going to play a lot of minutes 5-on-5, the majority of them. So that ultimately is going to be the breaking point. Well, you're going to have the call tonight. It's on TSN4, Leafs Jets, and always going to be on the panel. And do you have any final words?
There's probably a 48% chance the race will get brought up during the game today.
I think that's a lock.
Ray, let me ask you this before we let you go. Just quickly, what about either Al's brother's race or mine brought out, like made you think of athleticism? Like you said, that is dynamic.
When you finished and you were still upright.
But you didn't think Al's brother's start was really good?
I thought his start was
you know what I thought
explosive.
Was going to happen? I thought that was like a Monty Python skit, and Al's brother's arms were going to fly off.
Were they
and
not motoring?
He was going to bleed out his shoulders like, you know, the Dark Knight that he goes, you've cut off both your arms. And that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought they were just going to fly off.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of the issue. Like, knowing how to run properly is really
in a running race. Just think of what you said. In a running race, knowing how to run properly is important.
Yeah, Ray thought it was a Super Dave Osborne skit. That's what it was.
Oh, Super Dave was the best.
The best. The best. And those were shot all throughout Toronto, probably at that track.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. 35 years later.
Did you ever see the one where he got knocked off the CN Tower?
Oh, yeah. The best. The best. And his sidekick.
Mr. Fuji opens the door and knocks him.
Mr. Fuji was
the
best.
Best.
He was so confused. Super Dave was an absolute giant. I love Super Dave. He's so good. Well, we'll leave it there. We look forward to seeing how you can kind of lead this into the broadcast tonight or make it somehow
applicable. Get it in there. Oh, Al's brother, congratulations. You guys stunned the world today. That was outstanding.
There's the positive feedback we're looking for. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one tonight. We'll do it again Monday.
Talk to you Monday.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, with more positive feedback on the race seen and heard around the world. And Ray joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
It's the best because I'm seeing what's trending in Canada. Like, there's some serious stuff, like Dr. Tam spoke and all of that. And then below it, Al's brother. Like,
it's
literally.
Trending in Canada.
We need that throughout the country right now. We need it throughout the city, the province, and the country, right? We need just a little bit of reprieve. And it's put me into shock because I'm having a tough day. I can barely speak English. And I think it's because I'm in shock with how you guys ran. Like, I'm legitimately
nobody expected that performance, what they saw.
Right. So
the best.
We'll come back. We'll bring Al's brother back into the fold here. Oh, you're on the panel tonight, so you got one more with us. Full recap. We'll roll the tape, and we'll talk amongst ourselves and just really put a bow on what has been a truly shocking and spectacular afternoon.
Yeah. An amazing day.
Yeah. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so the Leafs, Jays, Raptors all in action. It's going to be a big weekend. You got the Byron Nelson cooking this weekend. We should point out your boy Sam Burns is currently in the lead. He's at 15 under. He's birdied 6 of his last 9 holes.
My guy.
That's your guy, courtesy of the golf guru, Jamie Noodles McLennan. He hooked you up with Burns. And Burnsy, no one loves leading a golf tournament after 36 holes.
Oh, my God, does he ever. He finally closed it out.
He did a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he did. And we are mailing it in here on a Friday on Overdrive, and it's brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill, I would suggest, after a 200-meter dash. Coors Light on ice is an absolute priority. Al's brother in studio with the silver medal. Always in studio with the gold medal. Look at you two. Spectacular.
Proud. I'm proud. I thought it was going to – I was nervous about it. That sounds stupid. The 40 wasn't good. And I did like a little, I didn't warm up, obviously, but I did like a little sprint to get the juices flowing. And my knee, I told you guys this the last time, my knees, hips, groins, all of it so tight. I was like, I'm going to be over the 75 seconds. And I,
so that's
I
how
blew
you're feeling.
I blew it out of the water.
Yeah, you really did. You ran it in 42.3, which is a spectacular time. I guess the guy walking, did he finish with the bronze, Al's brother? What happened there if you guys have the silver and gold?
Yeah, I think he. We gave him the bronze before we jetted out of here. We're the opponents, but couldn't quite keep up with the O and I.
Okay. Well, I'm proud of you guys, and it's a good scene. It's been a fun afternoon. Like the video, yeah. Shout out to the grappler.
Steve, the drone guy,
Mullen, Megan for scrambling and putting it together in time and making sure that we could get that on the air, because the video is spectacular. We'll post it all online on Instagram and Twitter and the whole nine. But I can't say this enough. I mean, I'm proud of you guys. Wow. I'm happy I was so wrong. I will not make that mistake again, whatever the third event is going to be.
Yeah, and it's not pole vaulting. Like, we know that we'll try pole vaulting, but it's not happening. So
it's
we got to think of something. And the one that's gaining traction.
Wrestling?
That is gaining traction. You're
right. Like, boy.
No, wrestling,
like the Gibson.
Wrestling is not gaining traction.
If you had the headgear and you guys went head, you know, like forehead to forehead and started off, like just started doing the circles.
No,
like,
no,
get him
no.
into a little ball, a little
some
Jacobson.
Type of,
yeah,
of a 400 meter hurdle, possibly.
Oh no,
dude.
No.
Don't know. That is what's gaining traction, a hurdle type event.
Isn't there a 110 meter hurdle? Like, isn't there something like that?
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah. I believe there's a 110. Why not 110 hurdles?
If like, there's a 400 meter hurdle, I think that should be the next one and the last one.
That could be. What about a long jump, Al's brother? Would you feel comfortable with, a long jump?
Long jump and 400 meter hurdles.
I don't
brother?
Know, 400 meters. We were dead after
rich.
Two.
You're not getting over that hurdle. Do you know how high that hurdle is?
We have to adjust the hurdles to appropriate height.
We'll put it like shin level.
The next and last one, I am deciding it right now, start off long jump and a 400-meter hurdle.
Okay, I'm good with that. That makes a lot of sense to me. I think the
is there such an event, Hayes, as the 400-meter
yes,
hurdle?
Yes, of course there is. Absolutely. We'll see that in Tokyo. We can get Andy Petrillo to probably host on site, get her juices flowing for the Olympics when she does that for CBC. I think that'd be great.
You guys will be pulling sand out of your crack for days with
can
that.
Can you imagine that shot, though, Noodles, them in the air, just because you got to do the full, like, you're wriggling in the air to get that last
you
got to
gain traction in the air.
Yeah, try and like toss those feet out as much as you can because, what, the back heel, right?
Back heel. Yeah. Back heel, Al's brother. You know what's up. You're a part of the track and field vibe. You were a field guy, though, weren't you? Like, didn't you say shot put was up your alley? And
shot put. I did do long jump and triple jump. Triple jump, someone messaged me and said triple jump would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
A little hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh,
that might be better.
That
could blow out two hammies and then you hop. I think that
how many hurdles are in the 400 meter? How spread apart are they?
It's a good
I'm
question.
I'm not privy to that information.
It's
I say
wrestling,
110
noodles.
With hurdles.
Don't go to wrestling, please.
No, I'm not going to go back to wrestling. Like, I'm throwing that out the window. I just needed that image in my head for 5 seconds of you guys in like wrestling suits and really going at it. But that's more like a Borat scene. Do you remember the Borat scene where they were
the mankini? Oh yeah, him and his buddy naked in the hotel room.
Yeah.
And Al's brother kind of looks like the sidekick in Borat a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yes, there's some similarities between
Borat. There is some
Borat
similarities
and,
for sure.
And
the sidekick,
and
not
Al's brother
not,
and
yeah,
the, yes, I,
anyways,
I know where you're going with that. But
I think it's a buck 10 like I think you should do 110 with the hurdles and then the long jump.
Okay.
So you've already established you can run. You don't need to prove that you can run to us. I think it's jump next time. Run and jump.
Okay. Well, I think we can establish that now, and we'll see where we're at. But there will be at least one more event, and I think that's what's exciting. That's what people want is one more event before the end of the, you know, July, before the end of the cup run, right, at some point over the next 2 months. If you're okay with that, Al's brother, O-Dog, you can have your ceremonial contract signing right there in the studio. Make sure you lock it in so it's committed. And I like it. I like it. That's what we're moving towards. You guys see Phil Mickelson accepted the exemption into the U.S. Open. I thought I remember him saying he wasn't going to do that.
Dude, he's smartened up.
He's got to take it.
Yeah, yeah, of course he does.
He's got to take it. It's that Torrey Pines. That's his track. He's from San Diego.
I love all the heroes. I got to get in on merit alone. You accept the invitation and hope you shoot lights out. Earn
every
your
day
way back.
Week. Yeah, every day. He's not going to win it. And it's the one, you know, white whale he's been chasing. Like, it's the only thing he doesn't have. What does he have, 5 second places or something at the U.S. Open? Or
dude, if he ever was going to win one at this stage of his career, I think Torrey Pines has got to be it.
Yep. That's his track. He's probably played it 500 times in his life, and he knows it, but he just – I'm glad he accepted it, though. Why be a hero?
Yeah.
Why be a hero? Everyone wants to see Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open. Tiger won't be there, as we know. So give us one of the guys. Make sure Phil's there and accept the exemption and just – go and shoot the lights out and see what you can do.
His game, though, Hayes, is so non-U.S. Open, like down the middle, pars part. This guy, he wants to just throw darts from 240 yards, and he gets himself short-sighted in trouble, and his U.S. Open, there's a reason why he hasn't won this tournament.
Right, and I don't think he will be, I'm not sure he'll be favored to make the cut, quite frankly, at the U.S. Open this year, but that would be a good story if he just plays into the weekend.
Right.
All right, so yeah, there you go. You got Phil Mickelson accepting a ticket to the U.S. Open. We got the PGA champion next week, so we're going to make picks. We're going to be going back and forth, and the golf guru, I think, has to make at least one pick for each of us, right? Was that what we established?
Yep.
And listen, Noodles is on fire. Like, Spieth is 11 under. He's in the hunt. DeChambeau's at 9 or 10 under right now. Sammy Burns is up there. Like, I don't think you're going to have anyone that misses the cut.
Wow.
Yeah, Rahm's in a good spot.
It's an incredible selection process from the guru. Matsumami?
Yeah.
How's my guy Matsumami?
Yeah,
he's
how's Matsumami
7 under,
doing?
I think. So I don't think he's going to win it. Like, realistically, Sam Burns is at 15 under. Like, you're going to have to get this to 24, 25 under to win it.
Wow.
But, Matsuyama's going to make the cut. I mean, the cut line is going to – I don't even know what it's going to be. Like, what is it going to be, 5 under, 6 under?
At least.
Yeah,
well,
I don't even know. But
I'm glad that I didn't, like, embarrass myself and everyone. I embarrassed myself pronouncing the name, but it sounds like everyone else, like, that we picked were good picks.
Absolutely. Like, you know, Brooks Koepka's 2 under. My boy Fitzpatrick, he's 2 under. That's not a good scene. That's a bad trade by me. But anyway, we got a weekend full of that, so it's going to be a fun weekend with the AT&T going on. The Byron Nelson, we got the Leafs in action tonight. The Jays are in action this weekend. The Raptors wrap up their schedule. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Oh, you're off to do panel work tonight. Say hi to the boys, Duffy and everyone.
Can't wait.
Wrapping up TSN hockey, I guess, with the Leafs this year. I mean, it's been a short year, but a fun ride. So, and I think you're off Monday as well, aren't you? Because you're doing some playoff thing or something.
I go where I'm
like
told,
that.
Buddy. I have no idea.
All right. Yeah. Well, enjoy that. Good stuff this afternoon. The official time, 42.3 seconds for the 200-meter dash. That is dashing, and it's appropriately cited. I mean, that's
impressive.
Just an incredible run.
So impressive.
Very impressive. Very
appreciate
impressive.
It. We'll see you guys Monday.
All right, buddy. There he is, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Al's brother will stick around. We'll get to him a little bit later this afternoon. And Josh Lewenberg coming up on the two-pack of games remaining for the Raptors, they got smoked last night. They're like a 14 or 15-point dog tonight in Dallas. Like, it's going to get ugly. So we'll catch up with Josh, kind of put a bow on the season and what to make of it, where we go into the new season, or into the offseason, I should say. And Mike Johnson will join us on the Leafs and the playoffs starting tomorrow. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, in about 15 minutes. Mike Johnson will join us as well. And O's off to do some panel work. We're getting real close to the Cup playoffs, I should say. They start tomorrow night, Boston, Washington. See Ryan O'Reilly with, I think, a guarantee. I think that counts as a guarantee. He said, you know, we're going to beat Colorado. And that's his former team. I don't remember how that ended. I don't think it was a great divorce between the two sides, O'Reilly and Colorado. But I can understand why they'd be confident in St. Louis.
Sure. That there are some potential upsets. I don't know. Like, we'll get into it all next week at length, breaking down every matchup. But, like, St. Louis, I'd be afraid of them because they've got the pedigree, and I don't think they care what they do in the regular season. It's a matter of just getting there and turning it on and going. But Ryan O'Reilly coming back to him, Wasn't there an offer sheet by Calgary and Jay Feaster? And
Jay Feaster was dangerous. He screwed up on it to the point where if it was accepted, they would have had to give up multiple picks, but still lost, and then put him on waivers. That was what it was.
Something crazy.
Yeah, there was some sort of like detail, like devil in the detail, where because he was on waivers or something like that, you pay the price to acquire him, but then you'd have to get him through waivers so someone else could pick him up for free.
Yeah.
And he didn't know that that was a part of the CBA. And luckily, though, Colorado matched the deal, so it never got to that point. Yeah. But yeah, that was crazy, man.
Like he said, yeah. I mean, if you look at it coming back to Ryan O'Reilly, like there's been a lot of noise around him. You know, he had that kind of noise in Colorado. He had some noise, signed a big deal, had the noise in Buffalo, and then gets to St. Louis and wins a Conn Smythe and a Stanley Cup, and he's kind of found a perfect home. And he's a great guy and a great leader. And, you know, it takes guys sometimes, you know, to find the perfect setting for where he is. And I think he's in the perfect setting in St. Louis where, you know, Colorado, I think they were young and up and coming, and when somebody had to go because it was, I think it was finances. It was like Matt Duchene or O'Reilly was going to get paid, one of the two, and I think they chose Duchene, and then in the end ended up rinsing him anyways.
Well, that's it. The Colorado scene has been an interesting one because they've been very good for a couple of years now, but you're right. They went through a long run there where they had high-end picks. You know, Duchene, they took third overall. They had Paul Stastny, too, in the books at one point.
Yep.
At a decent price. And O'Reilly was a second-round pick, but he started as an 18-year-old. So
right.
I kind of get the impression like that was a part of it, that he didn't get the first-round money, but then played and immediately made an impact and was like, you're going to have to pay me once I'm up here.
Right.
And they were like, well, wait a minute, dude. You've been in the league for 3 years. You know, like, right. Just relax. And offer sheets came in, which, again, is such a rarity. We just don't ever see it. And yeah. O'Reilly happens to be one of them. And he has hopped around, but to your point, he's found his niche in St. Louis, and they've won their cup, so they're playing with house money. Like the pressure's on Colorado, and I think the pressure is always going to be on the higher seed for the most part, but
sure.
Especially a team like Colorado who is cup aspirations, and it's on them to prove that they can take that next step.
I thought they should have been there last year.
In their way. I agree with you. You know, and we've talked about it a lot with their goaltending issues, and they just ran into a bit of a heater there,
right?
With Dallas, but listen, it's not going to be an easy run because
nothing's a cakewalk there.
Nothing's like, a cakewalk.
Everyone's expecting it's going to be Colorado and Vegas. Like, I just think there is going to be one, maybe two, out of all of these series, like surprises.
Fully expect it, Noodles. It happens every year anyway. And this year, why would it? This has been such a random, weird season of sports.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't it happen where you're going to have a couple of upsets?
Yeah, absolutely. You get a heater here. You get, you know, an injury or something, like an inconsistency. And, like, seasons are these, you know, the second season, the playoffs, like, these rounds are, it's not like they last a month. You have somebody who has a bad 10 days, you know, a bad week, 1 week. That's it. You could, like,
well, what do
Colorado,
you think? What do you think the Panthers are thinking right now? Because Kucherov's going to be back. Stamkos is going to be back.
Right.
We've known this the whole time. I wasn't sure about Stamkos in his timeline. The Kucherov one has been obvious since day one.
Right.
You know, he took the operation. He's been on skates for over a month. He's been practicing for a month. Like,
yeah.
We knew it was coming, and I read his quote today. He said, I feel great. Like, I'm ready to rock here.
Right.
And if you're Florida, you're probably feeling a little bit cheated. But this is their team. This is the full team. This is what you get. And credit to Carolina for beating both of them and avoiding having to play one of them in the first round.
Absolutely.
You
and
know, that's really what it comes down to.
There's no guarantee that top players can just get up to speed immediately. You know, I would expect Kucherov to be – brilliant. I would expect Stamkos to be brilliant, you know, but you don't know. We don't know.
No,
like,
you don't.
And the other thing is Florida's a hell of a team. Like, they've had a great season. Joel Quenneville. As broadcasters, like, I've got to vote for Coach of the Year. I've got to figure out, like, who I'm even going to be looking at, which
Man,
is kind of cool.
Every year it's tough, Coach of the Year. Every
yep.
year there are 5, 6, 7 compelling cases you can make.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
It's no different this year. You know, every division has at least one, if not multiple coaches, where you say that's a spectacular job. Right. What a job. And Florida would be one of them. Like last year, they just weren't that good of a team. They haven't been so great the last couple of years. And Quinville's done it again. You know, he's got them flying, and they're moving in the right direction for sure. We'll catch up with Mike Johnson, get his take on all this. The Leafs are in action tonight. We'll tee that up. Raptors in action tonight. We'll get to that. The Jays are in action. There's some updates in terms of injuries with the team, which is nothing new. We'll tell you about that, too. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.